Specifically when you can't hear it.
Ah, yeah. You can't hear the theme music.
I can sort of get it by your reaction, though, that music is playing.
And the drop is... Yes. Ah, what's up, ladies and gents? Welcome back. Welcome back to the Aim A Little Higher podcast. I don't know what I was about to call it.
I don't know. It's been like, what, a year?
It's been a long time, but we're back like we never left. And firstly, welcome to everyone who's returning. You were subscribed, so you would have got a notification and you're like, boom, I'm back. And also welcome to all the newbies who have just joined. Welcome. It's Aim A Little Higher podcast. And basically, we're here to be a big brother, a big sister in your pocket, rather than wait till your school hires us in or your business hires. You come direct here and we got you. And if you've got any questions at all, you can message us on Instagram and they'll be discussed for show. This week has been an interesting week because there's a lot of talk about this idea of, you know, do I belong in the room and in imposter syndrome? And that word, I don't know if it was big before our time, but right now it feels like imposter syndrome is the go-to word that you hear all the time. Do I belong in a room? Am I good enough to be here?
We just love a saying, though.
We love a saying.
And so, like, if we can categorize all our emotions into imposter syndrome, then great. And yeah. People know exactly what we mean by saying imposter syndrome. The issue is like, is it actually imposter syndrome or are you just nervous? They're different, aren't they?
That is a concern to me of how you could have an emotion rather than process that specific emotion, we sort of put it under a bigger category where we don't get to the root of what it actually is.
Mm.
I had a lad yesterday in a workshop talking about he's got social anxiety. And I was like, oh, it's interesting because in here you're smashing it, mate. You're having a laugh. You're talking to me. He's like, oh, I know these guys. I'm like, you don't know me. He's like, yeah, true, actually. And I'm like, let's get more specific. When do you feel it? And he's like, oh, it's like, you know, you walk to a room and it's a big crowd. You don't know anybody. And I'm like, oh, okay. Don't be in big crowds of strangers. Makes sense. But socially, you're actually smashing it. You great eye contact, great speech. You've got a good sense of humour.
Yeah, I think people forget, like, evolutionary-wise, it makes sense for us to be nervous going into a room with people that we don't know.
Yeah.
Even if it was, like, two or three. Because, like, you know you're safe around people that you know.
Yeah.
And so you don't know you're safe physically when you walk into a space. You don't know whether you're safe emotionally.
Yeah.
Because when we belong to, like, different tribes and stuff in the past, you would feel very scared walking into a space that's new. So I think... Yeah, I think, like, and don't get me wrong, social anxiety is a good way of explaining it because you are anxious in social spaces, but there's generally a reasoning behind that and it's not a nuance space that only you have. It's probably something that most people have and it makes complete sense for you to have it.
Yeah. So when you hear the term imposter syndrome, what instantly do you think that means without people going into detail? When you hear imposter syndrome, what comes to mind? What do you think it means?
Do you know that game that everyone used to play? When, like, you had to guess the imposter. Among Us. Do you remember?
No.
How do you not know Among
Us? See, Patrick's not in his head over
among...
there.
Everyone knows Among Us.
No, I don't know it.
It's like the biggest thing.
We're old.
Like,
what is it?
This didn't happen that long ago. It was, like, 2019, 2020. Like, the biggest thing was this game, Among Us, just across everything. So I don't know how you guys don't know.
was it like a TV program?
No, it was, like, a game, like, on, like, your phone or whatever. Where?
Right.
You had these little icons and one of you was the imposter, right? And your task was to sabotage everyone else.
Okay.
But they didn't know that. You had to guess who the imposter was. So when I hear imposter syndrome, I think of someone who's not meant to be there at all for any reason, but you're there. Then you're an imposter.
Interesting.
Like,
so it's
pretending,
like,
to be like everyone else, but you know you're not meant to be there for any reason. Like, you're just not meant to be there.
So it's like traitors.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I never knew that game
existed. Never heard of it. I'd love to play that game.
I can't believe you've never heard of
that. You'd like to be the imposter.
Yeah, as long as I'm the imposter,
otherwise I'll play. It's so much fun and you can play with, like, it got to a point where you can play with your friends, so you could have headsets and
oh
you'd
my
be like,
gosh.
Guys, I'm the imposter, but, like, keep me in. And I'm like, because you have to talk to each other. I didn't reach around. It's like, okay, who do you think the imposter is? Everyone talks to each other and they're like, I think it's Blue. Blue's like, well, I can't be the imposter because I did this. I think it's Red. And then it's that sort of thing.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and then you all vote and it's a lot of fun. So I don't know how you guys don't know about it. But...
I missed that entire trend.
That's so cool. What happened in 2019? Oh, Alicia's one. Okay. Maybe that's
I guess
why.
You're a little bit preoccupied. Yeah. Still no excuse. Among Us was up there.
Damn, fair enough. Interesting. But I like the way you described that. It's you're in a place that you definitely don't belong in.
Yeah.
What do you hear when you hear imposter?
I think I just have it. Like I think I hear it all the time. Like, yeah. Oh, have you ever suffered with imposter syndrome? Like I always get asked it. And I think imposter syndrome psychologically is sort of explained through like anxiousness, perfectionism, wanting to be not feeling good enough to be in the room and then feeling like everybody knows everything of what's going on and I don't and I'm never going to be good enough. Did I feel it? Yes. Do I think it's right or something to pay attention to? No, not really.
When did you feel it?
Heavily my first meeting in my last job where there were a lot of heads from the US, from the UK.
For context, that was your when you're working in the tech
industry,
sales director.
And I went in as sales director at 25, 26. And I remember being like, I know nothing about tech. I know nothing about this world. I've never even been to this office before. Like I got lost on the way here. And the first question they asked was like, oh, just tell us about your careers. And I'm thinking like, well, this is going to be short because basically I've not done anything. And afterwards, I remember Adam came up to me and said, right, I can tell that you, I think he said imposter syndrome to me at the time. I can tell that you might suffer with imposter syndrome. Don't, because the only reason that you're in this room is because the same reason as everybody else, because I've asked you to be here. But if you're going to not be confident and have communication, which is the reason that I like you, then just leave. And it was like very direct, but I was like, yeah, he's right. The only reason, and I think just in general, I think if Storm said to me, oh, I'm a bit nervous of coming in here, if I felt like she was nervous, I'd probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
The reason that you're here is because I know you can do it.
Yeah. You got something to bring to the table. And so, otherwise, what's the point?
Like, yeah, we wouldn't be here if I didn't think you were good enough.
Mm.
So like the fact that you're not thinking you're good enough and now are worried and are not doing your job properly, because I genuinely failed in that meeting. I was so nervous. I think it's then like you're not actually doing what I'm paying you to do. So just get out.
So you had imposter syndrome of not feeling like you deserve in the room.
Yeah.
Which made you feel anxious and uneasy.
Yeah.
Which made you perform like someone who doesn't belong in the room.
Yeah.
So you sort of did it yourself.
Yeah, it's so weird because during the interview stage, I was like, so confident, communicated very well in my head because I was like, well, I've got nothing to lose really.
Yeah.
Whereas when you get that, you have something to lose.
Mm.
And I just wasn't, very good at, normally I am quite good at like the whole fake it till you make it thing. But in that room, I was I just wasn't at all and I couldn't fake it. And then that directness of going, you're letting me down on the two things I actually hired you for. So if you can't do it, you just need to leave. Was like a, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I've done. I've basically taken your trust and what you saw in me and just gone. I'm not any of those things because I'm just being overdramatic, basically. Damn. So just shut up and do your job.
Fair enough. It worked. The fascinating thing about imposter syndrome to me is this idea that the way to fix it is like you just mentioned, fake it till you make it. I do not agree with fake it till you make it. I think it's wrong. And I think the breakdown doesn't make sense. Fake it. So pretend. Pretend you're good enough to be in the room until you are actually good enough. Don't like it. Don't agree. Because if you're in the room, by default, you're good enough to be in the room. Now, do you have the skills needed to stay in the room? Maybe not. That's a different discussion. But you've got something that got you into the room. So you aren't faking it.
I hear you. I think, I don't know. And I don't know about Storm, but I definitely, I perform most roles.
Yeah.
Like even when I went into an interview, I was performing. I wasn't being me and how I colloquially have a conversation day to day. Like I was performing to be in that interview. Mm. And you have to perform during work. No one is paying for you to be just whoever you want to be. That's not real life. We're paying for you to play a role.
Yeah.
And therefore you have to play that role. In that meeting, I was being what I wanted to be at that moment. I was being my nervous self. Mm. I was listening to my emotions and arguably acting how I felt. Well, that's not what yourself. Adam was paying me for. Adam was paying me for to play the role as director of sales and be the confident person that he hired. That to me is faking. Because in that moment, I did not feel confident. I did not know how to communicate. I had to fake it in that meeting in order to be successful. I had to perform that role. It's not about faking it as in, and I think people sometimes take it too far, but it's not about faking it as in like, I have no reason to be here and I'm just going to put myself in the room and not believe. No, it's like faking it, making sure that you come across as confident because life doesn't have time for you to feel confident. Life doesn't have time for you to be happy all the time. We don't have time for that. You have to fake being confident. You have to fake being happy, especially when it comes to work. Like in your personal life, maybe not, although I don't overly like conversations with people and they're just whining about things. But I do think in a professional standpoint, when you're a student, when you're an employee, when you're running a workshop, you have to perform. And regardless of how you know, regardless of how you feel when you're delivering that workshop, delivering that assembly, yep. If you feel sick, if you feel tired, I do not expect you to go there and go, oh, sorry, guys, I feel a bit tired. I expect you to fake it. I expect you to fake being confident. I expect you to fake being well, fake being happy to get through because that's your job to do at that moment in time. So I do think fake it till you make it. Fake.
That's so interesting. Even then, I'm ill and I'm feeling rubbish. I drag myself to the talk, drag myself to the workshop. The second it's on, it's just on. And it's not, it doesn't feel fake. I'm just like, I'm in this room and I'm present. Let's go.
Yeah, I think it just depends on what connotations you connect to the word fake in this context. Because I think context matters. And I think in this context, it's more to say, there's going to be times where, like you said, you're not confident, or there's going to be times where you don't feel like it, or you'd rather stay at home, or you're not happy today, or you're angry, or whatever. But in the place that you're in, or in the position you're in, you can't be that. So you have to be something else. So it's the idea of be what you need to be, and eventually you're just going to forget that you're faking it. Because how many times have you woken up for school and you're like, I'm so upset this morning, I've had a bad morning, I'm going to have such a bad day at school. You get into school and you're being sad, but you see your friends and now you're having a laugh, and before you know it, you're in a better mood. And it's the same thing, like, except you're faking it. So you're pretending for a little bit till eventually, you know what, I am feeling better because I'm not sitting in my bad mood. I've now decided I'm not going to do that and I'm moving forward. And I think when it comes to being in a room where you feel like you don't belong, you have to sometimes pretend, right, I feel like I don't belong here, but nobody else knows that. So I'm going to pretend like I do, and like I'm confident in the fact that I do. And then eventually, I am going to feel that way.
Yeah.
I think it's more that than someone saying, like, be fixed or be something you're not.
Yeah.
You know you're not. You know you're not. You don't deserve to be there. But play pretend and fake it. I don't think it's that. I think that's way too far. I know some people do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's more to say, like, you might not feel like you deserve something, but if you've been given a position or an opportunity, it's because someone else thinks you do. So even if you feel like you don't, sometimes you just have to accept that you do, which is the faking it, until you make it, until you realize, yeah, I do belong here, yeah, I do have the skills, now I'm confident, now I'm comfortable, and I can just drop the act because I'm not acting now.
Yeah.
Have you been in a situation where you've been like, I don't know what I'm doing here?
Yeah, you guys threw me in Southampton on the first day. I didn't have a clue what I was doing there. But I think I've got a very big ego. So if I'm in a room with people who I know are like above me, my head doesn't go to, oh, I'm below these people, let me feel sorry for myself. It's kind of like an ego boost. I'm like, I don't have as much experience as you guys and I'm still here. So like, that's quite cool to me. So I think of it that way majority of the time. But of course, there's times where, like, you're thrown into something and you're like, okay, I'm way out of my depth here. But it's about how you navigate the situation. You can be sad and upset and scared and let it overtake you, or you can just deal with it and unlock bigger opportunities.
That's so interesting. It sounds like it is a worrying thing, because as soon as I hear fake it, I'm hearing be something you're not, which is almost impossible to do because... You can't keep it up. You can't sustain it.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, I'm like, well, I don't know. Need a new phrase. Work it till you earn it. Or I don't know. Earn it till you learn it. I'm not sure. But in essence, you're in the room for a reason. Now just do your best, be the best version of you in that role. I agree that you can't be yourself in most situations, which people are like, oh, I've been told to be myself all my life. But
yeah, it's a really bad lie that we've told a bunch of people that you need to put yourself first in every direction. You'll end up very unsuccessful and unhappy.
Genuinely, I don't think you... I think there's elements of your personality that just need to be turned up, and I dial that bit down. So at home, you might hear me go, oh, I'm actually like, this is bugging me, this is bothering me. Or outside in work, that is turned to zero, and that is turned up, regardless of what's going on at home, because it's not the time or the place I need to turn up the positivity. At home, I'm quite level, quite chilled and relaxed, whereas on stage, it's turned up and it's up there and everything's 20 times bigger. But that's not fake. I could be like that now. It just doesn't need that balance, if that makes sense. So I don't like the word fake, because you've got it. You've got it. You are good enough. You've got the communication skills. You're not using them in this big, intimidating meeting, but you've got them. You've got the confidence.
Yeah, I think yours comes from words mean a lot to you. and I respect that. I think for me, there's just like that. You just got to have some common sense. Like if you take me saying I believe in fake it till you make it, going to make a whole fake life for yourself so you can go and have a relationship with somebody else, you can go full and have catfish. Two jobs, like. Then you're just a bad person. And I don't know how you could take that from what I'm saying. What I mean by fake it till you make it is there are going to be times where you aren't feeling good enough. There are going to be times in rooms where you may feel like you can't belong or you don't belong because people don't look like you or you don't have experience in those spaces. But if you, my wording, fake it, as in you become what you put on a confidence shield, you perform the role that you're trying to play, and it doesn't mean that needs to deter from you. You're not pretending to be somebody else that's in that room. You're pretending to be yourself, a confident version of yourself, a positive person of yourself. Then I think that then you'll make it.
Yeah.
If you don't do that and you just remain in your feelings, then you most likely won't be very successful. And I don't see you making it, because there's only a certain amount of times that someone can be like, oh, I don't really feel like I belong here. And then they get sympathy to just leave then.
Yeah.
Like if you don't feel like you belong here, it's not really my job. And especially in the working world, it's no one's job to keep telling you belong here. You are here. You've been chosen to be here. And it's either up to you now to work hard and make it or not, you know, like that's it. Because there's hundreds, I think people forget there's hundreds of thousands of other people that are looking for work.
Yeah.
That will fake it until they make it. That won't complain when they get there. So, like, just do your job.
Yeah. I think the underlying tone, or the original underlying tone of fake it to make it, was all about being adaptable and how you adapt to situations. And it was promoting the idea of sometimes you're going to be uncomfortable, you need to adapt. Sometimes you're going to be somewhere that you don't think you deserve, you need to adapt. And it was all about adapting. And we do it all the time. Like, think about how you code switch when you talk to different people. You're not pretending to now be more posh or be more urban. You're just adapting to your surroundings and being the person you need to be in that moment. And I think that's what it was, or that's what it's supposed to be. I think now, kind of like what you were saying, it's become this thing where people think it's okay to now invent personas that aren't real, or invent lifestyles that aren't real. And we see it all the time, social media, whatever.
Gosh.
And promote that kind of fakeness until you make it vibe. But I don't think those two things are the same thing, especially in work. I don't think it's supposed to be the same. But yeah, the underlying tone for me is all about adaptability and how you handle high stress situations and being resilient, that sort of thing.
Just what you mentioned there about code switching, and it might be another podcast, but I find it very interesting now where people like use certain types of language. And my brother was saying, like, sometimes he'll go to a job interview with a couple of people and they'll leave, but the terminology that they'll use in that interview is like more like street language, like what you'd use on the road. And he was like, no, you can't use that language here. Of course, you're not going to get the job because you're speaking like you're speaking to me. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think people find that discriminatory now, where they're like, well,
I should be.
That's how I speak. That's because of where I come from. And I think actually, like, even when I first met you, the way you'd speak to a certain group of friends was different to a way that you'd speak to another group of friends. And I think it's actually nothing set by, well, I think there is a standard set by professionalism. Like, I would talk to clients in a certain way, and I would talk to, like, my parents in another way. I'd talk to my friends in another way. I probably wouldn't swear around a client. Right. Like, that's not acceptable. But I think even when you're growing up in different circles, you learn, oh, this is how I'll speak in this group of friends, and this is how I'll perform, and there's certain topics that we'll touch on. Whereas over here, we wouldn't talk about those topics, and I probably wouldn't say that.
Big time. I don't know why we've started to protect every element of ourself as, like, being right and being perfect. And, well, if I do this when I'm at home, I should be able to do it in the workplace, and I should be able to dress like this. Actually, no, there's just appropriate personas of yourself for situation. I'm not being less of myself. If I say, well, I'll go on to my friend over there and I say, good afternoon over there, I'm still saying hello. Hello, how are you? I'm still caring how you are. It's just that with that friend, that makes more sense for our relationship and our background, our social group. That's how we talk. Whereas, and I'm not even talking about color. That could be a black friend. That could be a black professional. I'm still not going to go, hey, what are you saying? No, I'm going to say, good afternoon, because he's a professional. We're in a professional context. There's even certain family members that like a little bit of that. Family members who can't stand it. If I'm ever going up to my grandmother and talking the same way I'm going to talk to my younger brother, you just don't. So I think we've got to, like, take a step back and go, where do all these pieces fit? Where is it appropriate to speak in this way? Where does it not make sense? And how am I coming across to this other person? Once I've been working with some young people, they might come in for like a handshake, you know, sideways kind of thing. And cool, we've been working together for 4 weeks. Yeah, we're comfortable now. Day one, it's a handshake. It's understanding that there's just a level of presentation you've got to give and you've got to do, and it's got to be appropriate for the room you're in if you want to be taken seriously. I'm not going to take you seriously if you come into an interview and want to dap me, and I'm not going to take you seriously because I'm like, you're way too comfortable. We're not there. Once you're working for you, you're in the company. Hey, no problem. There's just a time and a place for everything. And I don't think we should be offended by having to be more professional in professional settings. It doesn't make sense to me. We're so ready to be offended.
Do you code switch with people?
Yeah, I talk to clients all the time, and how I talk to you guys is different, and how I talk to my friends is different. I think it does come down to just common sense. You talk to different people in different ways, and it's just how it is. And I think if you're upset about that, then you're not mature enough to be having conversations with anybody, because I guarantee there's a way you don't want to be spoken to. And if someone spoke to you in that way, and they turned around and said, well, you can't be upset about that because that's just who I am and you need to accept it, I don't think your response would be, yeah, okay, you can talk to me like that all you want now. So I think it's just a silly argument, really.
It's a good point, to be fair.
Yeah. It's so true. Fair enough.
I also think, like you said, the dressing thing, I think it's, I don't know if you remember, but when we got my brother a suit, my brother wears tracksuits most of the time. Yeah. When we got my brother a suit for Nana's funeral, he felt like a whole different person.
He felt so fresh.
And I think that sometimes, actually, when you're, and that to me is a little bit of fake it till you make it again. I think, like, actually putting on a suit and becoming that person does, like, heighten things for you. It does, like, make you appear a little bit more sophisticated and better. Like, there's certain things, if I'm speaking to a room, most of the time I wear heels because that's the persona that I have to slip into, because when I wear heels I feel more confident. And like, but sometimes I wear trainers and jeans and jumper, I still feel confident, but I wouldn't necessarily go to a workshop in gym gear
because
I feel different. And I think, like, the clothing, the code switching and how you speak, I think all of that is just a necessary part of like creating who you are in different areas and life.
People underestimate the power of your clothing. Like, you choose your clothes so carefully. There's some things you would never wear because you don't like what it represents about you. But then we forget it works the other way around. So, like, school uniforms are a great example. When I first got a blazer, I was gassed. And they wanted to do this thing of like, no, we don't want to wear blazers and appeal it. I was like, no, leave it. I like this. And then we got the little tank top underneath. And I was like, oh!
I don't think she means tank top.
It's a tank top, isn't it?
No, a tank top is like a strappy.
Whoa! No, I was not wearing those strappy clothes to school. I was not wearing those strappy. Let the record show, I wasn't wearing those strappy tank top to school.
No. Do you mean the jumper thing?
It's like a jumper, but the arms are cut off.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
Just like a short sleeve jumper, but it's not.
Patrick, what do you call that?
Short sleeve jumper.
Yeah.
You never call that a tank top? Serious?
Come on, a tank top is literally like, you
it's
know.
It's like a sweater vest, isn't it? That's what, yeah. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah. A sweater vest?
Yeah, it's like the vest shape, but it's a sweater, like a jumper material.
But with little straps?
No, it's like. It's a jumper with no arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, not quite no arms, a little bit shorter.
But not a tank top.
It's not a tank top.
Oh, no, I'm not wearing no strappy business at all. It was a jumper. And a blazer, and then like the tie in it.
Yeah.
I felt so nice walking into school. Just felt like, yeah, I'm here. But then after school, when we're like at the dance studio, that's coming off, shirts untucked, because now I want to be this laid back, relaxed version of me. Do you know what I mean? So I think we just confuse the two. Walking around with our shirts untucked and stuff, yeah, it feels more relaxed. It's like, Batcher, you know, if you tuck your shirt in, do your tie up, do that top button up and look in the mirror, you feel kind of nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I fully believe in the whole, I don't know if it's called power dress or not, but I fully believe that when I put a suit on, my IQ goes up. My IQ goes up. I just feel smarter. I feel sharp. It feels great being in the suit. But equally, I wear my hoodie comfortably and I feel more relaxed.
I also think like it's just, I don't know. When I see like school uniforms not worn right, I just think it's like really childish, and especially with boys, I feel like it's just really unmanly. It's the same thing as like boys with their trousers not all the way up. Like I just think, oh, you're a child because you can't remember how to dress. You know, I don't know. Like there's just something about it that's just not appealing in any way. Because for me, as a grown adult, I know I interact with other adults. And when I look around, no other adults dress like that.
Right.
So I cannot imagine, like, going out with you and then having to introduce you to an adult and then being like, oh, I don't know. There's just, as a woman, I feel like there's always that been my viewpoint in, like, you can't dress yourself. Your friend was really bad at it, actually. I won't say his name. But he was really bad at it in Peterborough.
Okay.
Where he just like everything was really oversized and his trousers were never up. I always used to think like, how is my friend going out with him? Like she could never introduce him to his parents.
Fair play. So I guess overall, when it comes to someone's at home and they're like, I've just landed this opportunity. I'm in this room and I don't feel like I belong there. What's your message you'd say to that person?
Fake it till you make it.
There you go. Fake it till you make it. I'd say you've been invited into the room for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually stop and pause and ask why. Why was I invited into that room? And you can probably see you've got some kind of skill, some, like I said, confidence, communication. There's something that got you into that room. So I just turn the dial up on that stuff a little bit more and go and do the thing that I said I was going to do to get in the room.
Yeah, just do your job.
Yeah. Honestly. Like, if I've said, yeah, I'm great at communicating, go and communicate. Go and shake some hands. Go and say hello. Just do your thing. No one hires you on
and
day
anyone
one
that's like, well, I
amazing.
Can do my job on my own, lies. Like, anyone that says that they can do anything on their own is just lying. We constantly need other people to either give us a job, to help us in other areas, to go and do something for us because we're too busy and we need to go and do something else. Like I could never live my life on my own. No way. I would not be successful in any format if I tried to do everything on my own. So no, you can't do your job on your own. Your job is going to use a network of people. Even if you're like a data scientist and you sit in the computer most of the day, you still need your colleagues, your employer to like you, to actually want to be around you, because it's important. That's who we are. We are social beings. We need each other to progress in life. So I'm really sorry to burst that bubble for you, but you are going to need other people.
This whole self-made thing is a podcast in and of itself, because I would argue there's nobody self-made. And we could go into that on another one. But no, absolutely. I agree with it. And you're both team fake it till you make it. I hear it. I think You're in a room for a reason. You're not good enough to stay in a room necessarily yet. So let's work on getting good enough to stay in a room long term. Cool, but something just got quickly. You into that room. Yeah, just fairly quickly.
Which is why I say fake it. You can go and work all of that out afterwards, but just fake it enough.
There is a beauty in acting as if the thing you want is already achieved.
Mm.
There's like a real power.
With
in
a
it.
Lack of ego, yes.
Yeah. You can't be like, oh, I've done it. But it's like, okay, I'm trying to get in shape. I've got a personal trainer, etc. And the question I ask myself is, well, what would you do if you were in the shape you wanted to be in already? Mm. Oh, like, if I look like that, I'd be up. I'd be going to the gym. Oh, okay. We'll get up and go to the gym then.
Yeah.
Rather than wait for the result. Do it now.
Yeah.
If I was more confident in this job, I guess I'd probably talk to the manager and I'd ask a question if I stuck. And cool. Then go and talk to the manager and ask the question that you're stuck on rather than trying to figure out that kind of energy. Rather than walking around like, I'm not talking about manifesting or anything like that.
Yeah, also I've been told before, like, that some people, especially when it comes to big companies, they're like, oh, no one goes and speaks to him. Like, don't go and speak to him. No one really speaks to him. And I remember Charlotte, my sister, went over and just said, like, oh, hi, introduce yourself. Hi, my name's Charlotte.
Yeah.
Great to meet you. And he spoke to her.
Of course.
Because you can't always believe what other people are saying, especially if they've never spoken to him before. And it's just a thing of like, we don't speak to him. Like, collectively, it just makes no sense.
Sounds like group bullying to me.
Yeah, I think it's just like, go and try and speak to everybody.
Yeah.
You don't know what anyone's worth. And like, that will be sometimes the CEO and sometimes that will be the caretaker, the receptionist.
Yeah.
And I think people forget how much power those people hold.
Facts.
They hold a lot of power.
Facts.
In the school. A lot of people actually do listen to them. People think it's just the people with the title. Well, people with the title are barely ever there.
100%.
The people that are there every day, a lot of people listen to. They're normally the gatekeepers to get through the door, to get various things. So
yeah. And they're the ones they ask their opinion on you when it comes to promotion time, etc. So very real. Well, there you go. That's our take on imposter syndrome. If you've got any questions about imposter syndrome, hit us up at Aim A Little Higher on Instagrizzle.
Oh, no one says that anymore, I don't think.
No one ever said it. I've just tried. I've been trying for years. It's been, how long have you been with us now?
2 years.
I've been trying for a solid 2 years. And I'm not sure if it's working.
No, it's not taking off.
Yeah. We'll see you next time. Peace.